Tonight I'm going to explain to you how Jagatguru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj explained sadhana. What is the path of bhakti? What do you have to do? I already mentioned in one of the previous speeches that because Sri Maharaji emphasizes that bhakti must be done with the mind, so it resolves a lot of apparent contradictions or conflicts between various past historical saints who taught different ways of doing devotion. It's very simple to understand that true devotion is done in here. And what you're physically doing to accompany your meditation on God or your remembering God, that can never be right or wrong. If you're remembering God, you're right. If you forgot God, you're wrong. Jhagada khatam. There's nothing left to argue about. You can do any form of bhakti you want, as long as you're remembering God. So in this way, Sri Maharaji was always able to reconcile all those apparent differences between past teachings of various saints and the different parts of our different Sanskrit scriptures. Tonight we'll go into a little bit more detail so that we can understand more what is it that Sri Maharaji said to do. You want to do bhakti? Okay, what do you have to do? Bhakti is of two kinds. Ek karni wali bhakti, you have to do it. Ek milni wali bhakti, you have to receive it. One is called sadhana bhakti, the bhakti you do, and one is called siddha bhakti, the bhakti you receive. Siddha bhakti is God's most private power. Vishnu shakti para prokta kshetragya khya tatha para avidya karma sangyanya tritiya shakti rishyate. Vishnu Puran. God has three main powers. One is called para shakti, one is called jeev shakti, one is called maya shakti. So out of those three, parashakti, by its very name, you can know it's supreme. Para means supreme. Maya is not supreme because it's a lifeless power with no mind of its own to do anything on its own. It's fully dependent on God. Souls are not supreme because although they're not jada like Maya, they're alive, yet they don't have unlimited power like God has. They don't have unlimited bliss like God has, or unlimited knowledge. They're not all-knowing, omnipresent. So the jiva shakti is not the supreme power. Maya shakti is not the supreme power. The para shakti is the supreme power. Okay, what is para shakti? Well, God has three inner qualities, eternal qualities. You would have heard of Sat, Chit, Anand. So because of these three existing qualities of God, His Parashakti, which is also called His Antaranga Shakti, His personal power, inner power, has three main aspects. So that Parashakti manifests itself in three aspects. The Sat aspect is called Sandhini. That's the almighty aspect of God's personal power. With this Sandhini Shakti, He does everything. With a mere thought, He creates this world. So kamayat bahusyam prajaye yeti, Taittiriya Upanishad. God thought and the universe came into being. That's due to His Sandhini Shakti, which is one aspect of His personal power. The chit aspect is called samvit shakti. Through this power, God is all-knowing. Sarvagya, yah sarvagya, sarvavidyasya jnanamayan tapah. Mundaka Upanishad. God is all-knowing. He knows every thought of every soul living in every corner of every country of this whole earth planet, and not only that, but unlimited such brahmandas in this world, in this endless universe. He knows everything that we're thinking now. He knows everything we ever thought in uncountable past lifetimes. He's all-knowing through this Samvit Shakti. And the Anand aspect of this personal power is Ahladini Shakti. This is the power of bliss. Through this, even though God is keeping track of uncountable thoughts, of uncountable souls and uncountable Brahmans, He's still happy. Imagine if you had to keep track of one person's thoughts. That alone, knowing your own thoughts stresses you out. If you had to keep track of someone else's thoughts too, God is keeping track of everybody's thoughts, yet He remains ever blissful. This is due to His Ahladini Shakti. Out of the three, the almighty power, the power of knowledge, and the power of bliss, Veda says, Taswa, out of all of those, Taswa Ahladini Variyasi. The supreme is Ahladini. Because the power of almightiness and the power of knowledge are subserviently established in the power of bliss. Sat is within chit. Sat and chit are within Anand. So Anand is supreme. And the essence of Anand is that power, Ahladini Shakti. Ahladini Shakti. Paramasar Premanam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji says, the essence of that Ahladini Shakti is called Prem, which we're referring to as Prema Bhakti. This is the one I keep referring to, that it has eight different levels. That's that Prema Bhakti, the divine love power, that culminates in Mahabhav Bhakti. That is, so that Mahabhav is the essence of Prema Bhakti, the divine love power, which is the essence of Ahladini Shakti, the power of bliss, which is the essence of God's personal power, Parashakti or Swarup Shakti, which is the main power out of all the powers. So that power of divine bhakti, that's the power that when Krishna gives it to any soul, then he becomes subservient to that soul. Aham bhakta paradhinaha, Bhagavatam. I become subservient to my bhaktas, the devotees who have received that divine power of bhakti. So that is the ultimate goal of every soul. Having received that power of divine bhakti, you receive God's personal seva forever in the divine abode. So your true goal to be with Radha and Krishna and serve them for their happiness forever is achieved when you receive that divine power of bhakti, prema bhakti. Or it's referred to as siddha bhakti, indicating it's a divine power, siddha bhakti. That is received, not attained. Is God's personal most, innermost power, the key to everything. I don't have time to go into it tonight in detail, but Kripaluji Maharaj always emphasized on not asking Krishna for anything except that bhakti. Why? Because He's got a whole treasury full of things. You can ask Him for any of those things if you want. He'll give it to you once you're fully surrendered. Or you could just ask Him for the key to the treasury. Then it's all yours. The key is that divine bhakti. You receive that, you get everything. So that's the ultimate goal for a soul. But that bhakti is not done and it is not attained. It's received when a soul's heart is fully purified. There's no charge for it. God gives it for free through that God-realized saint who you've accepted as your guru, you get it for free. But only once you get a fit vessel into which you can receive that. It's not like something you can just give like that in the hand. It's experienced in here, it's received in here. In here means our antahakaran. Call it heart, mind. That inner self receives that divine bhakti. So in order to be able to receive that and retain that, you need a divine antahakaran. How do you get a divine antahakaran into which to receive prema bhakti? Guru gives you that too. But you have to purify your heart first. Once the heart is fully purified, Guru gives you that swarup shakti, that para shakti of Bhagwan, that divinizes your antahakaran. Into that divine antahakaran, Guru does prem dan. You finish the wiring in your house, then connect the power, everything lights up. Don't do any wiring and connect the power, nothing happens. Like I mentioned, go get a mantra that could be a powerful mantra. Okay, fine. Has no effect if the wiring in the house isn't finished. If this hasn't been purified, no guru can give God realization. We have to purify our mind first. That means all the wiring is done. Then you make the connection. In other words, guru graces you with that divine power. Instantly you're God realized. So how to purify your heart, your mind? Then comes the other kind of bhakti, sadhana bhakti. Our goal is prema bhakti, but that can only be received into a purified heart or a divine heart, but you get the divine heart once you've purified your material heart. How do you purify your material heart? Do sadhana bhakti. So this is the bhakti you have to practice. So to practice, you have to know what it is. What is it? There are two possible types of bhakti. Inner bhakti, meaning the bhakti you do with your mind, with your heart. And outer bhakti, that you do with your body, your senses. In other words, chanting kirtan is called kirtan bhakti. Listening to a speech is called shravana bhakti. You can do also archanam, meaning do some puja, do some arati. You can do vandanam. You can sing verses telling about God's greatness. These are all forms of bhakti. You can physically bow down before an image of God. You can visit a mandir. These are all forms of bhakti, but they're bhakti that you do with your body and senses. None of these forms of bhakti can purify your mind. How could they? Can you wash out the impurities in your mind with soap? No. You can't reach what's in there from outside. So then why would physically doing arati purify your mind? Why would physically visiting any holy place or temple purify your mind? Your body's there, but is your mind? Why would chanting God's name purify your mind? You're chanting with your voice, right? Your mind could be somewhere else entirely. You could be thinking the most horrible thought while chanting Radhe Govind. So the mere act of chanting is not enough to purify one's mind. So we have to differentiate between antaranga sadhana, the inner devotion, and bahiranga sadhana, the outer devotion. The inner devotion is the be-all and the end-all. This is the bottom line. In other words, if you are remembering Radha Krishna, then you're doing bhakti to Radha Krishna. Remembering means doing smaran. Smaran Smaran karna means to remember. To do chintan means to think of something in your mind. So think of Radha Krishna. Remember Radha Krishna. Someone might say, but I thought internal devotion must be meditation. It is. What do you think meditation is? Deeply thinking about someone or something is meditation. Vishayan dhyayatashchittam vishayeshu visajjate mamanusmaratashchittam mayyeva praviliyate Bhagavatam. Shri Krishna says to Uddhava, if you deeply remember me, longing for me, desiring to meet me, your mind will become attached to me, so engrossed in me that it becomes one with me. In other words, it becomes totally purified. You get His grace, you get God realized. Do the same kind of chintan. Do that same kind of deep emotional remembrance for a person or thing in this world, and you're developing your worldly attachments. Both are forms of meditation. We already know how to meditate. We just don't call it meditation because it's so natural for us. We think meditation should be hard. You meditate on people all the time and things all the time. Whoever you love, you could probably sit for 10 minutes and uninterruptedly just keep thinking about them. Oh, they look like this. The sound of their voice is like that. The feel of their touch is like that. You can keep finding so many things to meditate on and never get bored. That's meditation. You call it, oh, I'm just thinking of my loved one. What were you thinking of? You seem like you were lost in a daydream. Oh, I was just thinking of so-and-so. I was remembering that time I spent with so-and-so. You're meditating on them. And through that deep remembrance of them, you're multiplying your attachment to them. This multiplies worldly bondage. The same process, if we use it for Radha Krishna. Why do you think saints describe so much about Radha and Krishna? So you can do the same. Oh, my beloved Krishna, he's dressed like this. He looks like this. He did that Leela. So you can keep thinking and never get bored because there's so much variety of description by all the saints. So, we already know how to meditate. There are other intellectual meditations, types of meditation, that are more difficult. They tend to go against the flow of the mind because they demand you to stop thinking. On the path of bhakti, you don't have to stop thinking, just change the subject that you're thinking about. Keep thinking, think more about Radha Krishna. That's it. So you already know how to do that. This inner sadhana, this remembering Radha Krishna, their names. Now I said chanting the name alone won't result in God realization. But if you remember the name, what's the difference between chanting and remembering? Remembering means along with the name, the personality is there. When you think of the name Radha, and along with that, you get the image of Radharani, and you feel her personality. Oh, she's like my divine mother. She's like my divine friend, divine sister. There's some attachment of your mind to the personality of Radharani. So that's remembering the name. Or you think the name is not just two sounds, Radha. No, the name is a divine name, which is another form of Radha. Radha is in her name. So when you think of the name in that way, then you're remembering the name. So you may meditate on the name, just Radhe, 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 with that kind of faith. You're remembering the name. That will purify your heart. You think of Roop. There's six things. Nam, the name. Roop, the form. Including all the decorations. as you choose to remember. You don't, it's not like, oh, you forgot how Krishna's ear pendants look, but you remembered how his besa looks. Fail. Sorry, you have to remember every single part of his shringar. No. You remember any part at all, it counts as meditation. You can only see his ear pendants. This is fine, it's enough. So you have all those options. Just think of any part of his form, any part of his decorations. Nam, Roop, Leela, all of his actions that you've heard described in Bhagavatam, described by saints like Kripaluji Maharaj. That kind of includes everything. The next one, Guna, that's his virtues, like his personality. The fifth one, Dham, his abode, which is also an expansion of his own self. It's not like Krishna lives in his abode. Krishna himself is his abode in which he lives. So his abode, his dham, is also one with him. You meditate on his abode, you're meditating on Krishna. And his jan, his divine associates like the gopis, Gwalbals, Mother Yashoda, they're all one with him as well. So you meditate on any of these six, you're meditating on Krishna. Leela kind of brings it all together, because in the Leela, well, he's going to be in his dham with his jan, revealing his gunas through that Leela. And of course, if you're thinking of the Leela, you're thinking of his form. So the Leelas include all of that. But none is better than another. If you just want to think of his abode, you're not even thinking of Krishna's form, it's fine. It's not like meditating on a Leela is better than just meditating on the name. It doesn't matter. It's all different forms of Radha and Krishna. You can choose, meditate on any form. That's why it's so easy. Even the form itself that you're thinking of, the way that Sri Maharaj described it, gives us, it's so heartening, it gives us so much hope. He says, you don't have to worry that you haven't seen Krishna, so how can I meditate on him? He says, Dekhne se roop dhyan nahi hota hai. Even in this world, you don't remember someone just because you've seen them. In fact, there's no person in this world that you can remember correctly. Any wife, close her eyes and try to imagine her husband's face exactly, correctly. Any husband, close your eyes, try to remember your wife's face exactly as it is, how her nose, how her eyes are, the length of her eyelashes, the shape of her eyebrows, how her hair is. You don't even notice when she gets a different hairstyle. She complains to you, do you notice anything different today? You don't know what to say at that point. If I say yes, I could be wrong. If I say no, I could be wrong. My point is, we don't pay that much attention. So then if you have to close your eyes and actually visualize the form, you'll fail. So even in this world, you can't remember a person you've seen millions of times. But if you close your eyes and think of them, it counts as Roop Dhyan of that person. I told you, if you deeply remember a person, the intent is what counts. You're remembering that person lovingly. That's making your attachment grow to them. Same thing with Krishna. Whether we've seen him or not seen him, it makes no difference. Think of him. That's it. Your intent is to remember him. And he's omnipresent. So it's even much more powerful than remembering a person under Maya or any one person. Because that person could be close or far, but they're never with you. That with you as Krishna is with you. He's right here. You remember him, you're practically connected to him. I mean, like actually connected to him. Because he's even in your mind. So for this reason, you have total freedom how to think of Radha and Krishna. In what form, what age, how tall, built with good muscles, or little soft. It's up to you. And there's no right or wrong. As long as your mind is in Radha and Krishna, it's fine. There's eight kinds of murtis described in the Bhagavatam, depending on what type of substance it's made out of. Like one could be made out of metal, one out of wood, one out of stone. Out of those eight, one is Manomayi Murti. Manomayi means made out of what substance? Your own imagination, your own thinking, your own man. That's a murti. Murti means an image of God, like we have here, a deity. So when you have a deity, what do? Oh, you meditate on them, you look, you feel that is Radha and Krishna right there. You serve them, you do their shringar, you dress them, change their decorations, bathe them, offer food to them, put them to sleep, wake them up. In other words, you do all this seva to them. That's what a pujari does, right? To the stone murti or metal murti. You can do the same thing to your manomayi murti of Radha Krishna. Do any kind of puja you want. Do any kind of seva to them. Dress them. Put a mala on them. Then decide, no, today I think I want a diamond necklace. If you're dealing with your stone murti or your metal murti and you feel like putting a diamond necklace on them, will you be able to? No. With your manomayi murti, just imagine the best diamond necklace you can, better than the Kohinoor diamond, and just make a whole necklace out of those diamonds and put it on Krishna, put it on Radha. So you're doing seva to Radha and Krishna in your mind. This is all part of inner sadhana, the meditation. See, you didn't spend one penny. If you're too worried about the outer sadhana, like, oh, where's the agarbatti? Where's the chandan? Oh, how can I do puja without this? How can I do puja without that? Close your eyes. Make your manomayi murti of Radha Krishna, and then also imagine your chandan and your agarbatti and your arti thali. Everything is right there. The best ones you can imagine. Because the physical act of doing it physically with your body is not considered puja. If you're doing it from your mind while you're doing it physically, that Krishna gives you the benefit for. Okay, you did my bhakti. So you do it with your mind plus your body, meaning you're putting chandan on Radha and Krishna from your body, and in your mind you're thinking, this is Radha, I'm putting chandan on. This is Krishna, I'm putting chandan on. In other words, you're doing pujan from your mind as well, and your body. You'll get the benefit of having done bhakti. Your heart has been purified by doing that. Some. Or close your eyes, don't do anything physically, and feel Radha is standing right here, Krishna is standing right here, and I'm applying chandan. Same exact result you'll get. Same benefit you'll get of heart purification as if you did it physically plus mentally, or just do it mentally, same exact result. Then why do we do physical bhakti? In other words, the bahiranga sadhana, the outer practice of bhakti. We do it as much as it helps us with our inner bhakti. The inner bhakti is the only thing that matters. If you're doing inner bhakti, antaranga sadhana, do any kind of external form of devotion, it's all good, it's all fine. Nothing could be wrong. But forget Radha and Krishna and do the best, offer the best items you can in puja, sing the best stuti you can, but don't have your mind in Radha Krishna. It's like multiplying by zero. You did a million units worth of effort, but you didn't remember them. A million multiplied by zero equals zero. You did a billion units of effort, but didn't remember them, you just multiplied by zero. So, manera smarana Pran. Smaran is the life of devotion, and the outer forms of devotion are like the body. So what's the real value of the body? When it has the pran in it, when the life is in it, then you care about someone's body. When the pran leaves, you get the body out of the house as fast as you can. Could have been your most beloved person in the world. You want it out of the house. In other words, it's worse than useless without the pran. So in terms of devotion, smaran is pran. Rup dhyan is pran. If the rup dhyan is there, then any form of bhakti is good. Now, although any form of outer bhakti can be used to complement your inner remembrance of Radha and Krishna as you like, yet in Kaliyug, scriptures and saints have said that there's one type of external bhakti in particular which is of most value in Kaliyug. Kriter dhyayato vishnum tretayam yajato makhai dvapare paricharyayam kalau tadhari kirtanat. Bhagavatam. Shukdev ji Paramahansa says that in other yugas, there are other external practices that are recommended to complement your meditation on God. But in Kali Yuga, only Kirtan is recommended. Chanting of God's name is the most highly recommended practice that you should use to complement your meditation on Radha and Krishna. Kaler doshanidhe rajan nastihyeko mahan gunah kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangah param vrajet. Bhagavatam. Although Kali Yuga is said to be the reservoir of all the evil qualities, yet there's one great quality of Kali Yuga that makes it desired above other yugas to be born in Kali Yuga. That is that you can attain Shri Krishna simply by chanting his name in Kali Yuga. You can mukta sangaha, can free yourself from all worldly attachments, and param vrajet, you can attain the highest divine status simply through chanting his name. But of course, that chanting means chanting that is done with smaran, with the inner devotion. So this is what Kripaluji Maharaj taught, a very simple, refined form of devotion, meaning all the distracting factors removed, made as easy to apply in your life as is possible. Sarvatra, sarvada. Sarvatra, wherever you are. Sarvada, any time of day. Na desha niyamastasmin, na kala niyamastatha. Veda says for this kind of devotion, there's no pabandhi, there's no restriction of time or place. Naam naam kari bahudha nija sarva shaktis tat. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ji also said in his Ashtapadi that there is no restriction for chanting Radha Krishna's name. You can do it anytime, anywhere. So, how do you do sadhana? Again, let's ask the question. How do you do sadhana bhakti? You have to remember Radha and Krishna. And to help you with your remembering Radha and Krishna, chant their name. Chant any kirtan that describes their leelas, their virtues, their abode, their forms, or just a simple Naam Sankirtan, Radhe Govinda. That chanting, for one, blocks out external distractions. No noise is going to bother you when you have the kirtan going nice and loudly. And it also helps to engage your mind in thinking of Radha and Krishna. It helps develop another important part of devotion, which is longing. We don't just have to visualize the form of Radha and Krishna. We have to feel that this is real, live Radha and Krishna in front of us, and we have to long to actually meet them. That longing is increased when you chant their name with emotion. It helps. So the kirtan is a very simple thing that you add to your meditation, which is a very powerful helper. So you do Roop Dhyan plus Kirtan. That is the form of sadhana recommended by the scriptures in Kali Yuga and by Jagadguru Shri Kripaluji Maharaj. This is called Karma Sannyas Sadhana. Meaning, the sadhana you do having ceased temporarily all worldly activities. Total stoppage of worldly activity. You're not cooking, you're not cleaning, you're not working, you're not talking, not doing anything. You're sitting and you're thinking of Radha Krishna. That's it. So you became a sannyasi. You're all sannyasis right now. You left the whole world behind, maybe just for 2 hours, but you did. It's all gone for these 2 hours. And you're sitting here as sannyasis practicing sadhana, thinking of Radha and Krishna. This karma sannyas has to be practiced for some time every day. Meaning, find a place. If you're not in a group like this and you're at home, then maybe you do devotion together as a family, or maybe you do it alone. It's up to you, whatever fits your schedule. You find a place where you won't be disturbed, and either sing kirtan or play on dholak, play harmonium, or play a recording of Maharaji's kirtan or any kirtan that you like. And while the kirtan is going, you do this meditation, what I described, Roop Dhyan. This has to be done every day. Ideally, if you really want to get the benefit of the practice of bhakti, you have to do that every day. For how long? There's no minimum or maximum. It's like, let's say there's a hole in the ground and a pile of dirt next to the hole, and you have a shovel. And every shovel that you put in the hole, that hole's getting filled and this pile's getting smaller. Your goal is to put that whole pile in that hole. And someone gives you the shovel and says, okay, you have to do this. And you say to him, so how many minutes a day should I do it for? Well, it's up to you. Do you want to take 10 years to move that pile of sand into the hole? Then do one shovel full every day. Do you want to do it in one day? Then just keep shoveling till it all goes in. It's up to you. How much you want to do, that's how much benefit you'll get. So there's no minimum or maximum. Do as much as you can, as much as you can handle, as much, you know, it's up to you. You think about what benefit you want to get and how much effort you can put in, and accordingly set some time aside every day to do this karma sannyas sadhana, where you've ceased all worldly activities. You just meditate on Radha Krishna and do kirtan. Like I said, sing it or listen to it, either one is fine. You can also listen to a speech of Kripaluji Maharaj. That's also a way of engaging your mind in thinking of Radha and Krishna. But the rest of the day, someone might think, okay, I did this karma sannyas sadhana, I did my devotion for today, ab chutti. Now I'm going to work, I'm going to play, I'm doing whatever. I did my devotion for today, so I'm done. No, the rest of the day, Sri Maharaji says, that's where you practice karma yoga sadhana. Meaning, while you're engaged in worldly activities, previously you had ceased those worldly activities to sit and only do devotion. Now you're engaged in those worldly activities. Your mind is involved in those worldly activities. Yet you're still supposed to feel the presence of Radha Krishna and your Guru, Hari Guru. This maintains a 24-hour connection. Because bhakti, although we say the practice of devotion, it's not like a practice. It's a consciousness, actually. It's a consciousness of relationship with Radha and Krishna. They're mine. I belong to them. They're my goal. I want to reach them. I want to meet them. You have that longing. How can that ever leave your mind if you're truly longing for them? If you love someone deeply, do you really forget them? No. Let's say, even in the case of a teenage crush, let's say a boy is caring for his mother because she has some illness. So he's very devoted to his mother, looking after her every need. But he's got this crush on this other girl. So even while he's taking care of his mother, what is he thinking of? He's thinking of that one. He's not being, he's not disregarding his mother. He's not making mistakes in caring for her. But some part deep in his heart, he's feeling the longing, when will I get the chance to go and meet that person? This is karma yoga. If you just reverse it and have, meaning we're doing that worldly duty, but our heart is longing for Radha and Krishna even while we're doing our duty. That's karma yoga. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmara yudhya cha Gita. Shri Krishna says, Arjun, remember me all the time, even while you fight the war. For us, that means even while performing our worldly duties, we should always remember Radha and Krishna. And this is only possible when we don't think of devotion as something we just do during a specified time during the day. No, it's a whole feeling, actually. Like I said, it's a consciousness. Just like you're conscious of, I had to go to work today, but my daughter, whom I love so much, is sick, home with the flu, the nanny's looking after her. The whole day you're doing your work, but your heart is there at home with your daughter. In other words, you're in daughter consciousness all day long. So that consciousness of relationship to Radha Krishna and the longing to be with them, that should be deep in your consciousness. Then you can remember them all day long. I always joke, although it's not that much of a joke, everyone has a cell phone nowadays. I also use my cell phone. And I always feel its weight in my pocket. It's always in the same pocket. And I have a lot of important information in there. So I'm afraid to lose it. Some part of my mind is always keeping track. Where's my cell phone? If I'm going out somewhere, I feel that weight is not in my pocket. Where's that cell phone? It's like I'm not thinking about my cell phone consciously, but part of my mind is keeping track. Is that weight there in my pocket? Is that cell phone there? I'm in cell phone consciousness. So, you see, when something matters to you, when you care about something deeply, it stays in your mind. So you have some awareness of that throughout the day. So we have to care like that for Radha and Krishna. Then we can do karma yoga. We can remember them throughout the day, no matter what activity we're physically engaged in, or even that our mind is involved in some activity. Deep in our heart, that connection is maintained with Radha and Krishna. To help us develop this, Sri Maharaji has emphasized a couple of very simple practices that, if implemented, will change your life. Number one, whenever you're not deep, if your intellect is not involved in thinking of something, whenever you get even a few seconds of break where you can take your mind out of what you're doing, he says, remember Radhe name with your breathing. When you inhale, say Ra, but not out loud. It's like you're saying it in your heart. You say Ra, and then when you exhale, you say Dhe. Even if you get a few moments free in your day, just notice, okay, I can breathe, and I can remember Radhe, Radhe. It instantly brings Radhe there with you. You can say Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam. That's practice number one. Try it and see. It sounds simple, but it'll change your experience of your day. Number two, when you start your day, whether you're at work, in an office, or you're at home, when you start your day's activities, maybe you start with some devotion time, some karma sannyas sadhana, and then you're getting ready to start the rest of your day's activities. Remember at that time, Radha Krishna are here with me. Guruji is here with me. Now at that time, you don't have to do proper Roop Dhyan of, okay, how's his crown, how's his nose look, all those details. No, just the awareness that he's here, I'm not alone. Then every hour on the hour, stop what you're doing just for a few moments and remind yourself, I'm not alone, he's right here with me. Because truth be told, we don't remember Radha and Krishna even once an hour during our day when we're working. We forget them almost the whole day. Few times we remember. Even if we add this much, think of them once an hour, it starts adding up. Then you get used to that. Then instead of just once an hour, you make it once every 30 minutes, once every half an hour. You won't get in trouble from your boss. It's just like, I'm giving my speech to you and I glance at the clock to see how much time do I have left. So it's just a glance. It doesn't interrupt anything. It doesn't cause any trouble. Same thing, you're at work, you're doing something. Just that much time, they're here. I'm not alone. Then go back to your work. As much as we can remember that Radha and Krishna are with us all the time, that much will keep our mind in positive thoughts. When we forget Radha and Krishna and Guru is with us, then that's when we start having unwanted thoughts, unhealthy thoughts, negative thoughts, thinking critical negative things about others. In other words, even if it's true, it's useless. Is that going to make that person change by meditating on their faults? No, you're imbibing that quality. Whatever you meditate on, you imbibe. The very fault you hate in that person, you're imbibing in your own self by meditating on it. So Kripaluji Maharaj always said, don't do paradosh darshan. Paradosh, other people's faults. And darshan, having the vision of them. See, that person's like that. That person's like that. He says it's worse than a waste of time. For one, you're not thinking of Radha and Krishna when you're doing that. So you're losing from that side. And from the other side, you're meditating on the negative qualities of another person. So it's like a double loss. You're taking on those impurities into yourself. So he said, instead of doing that, remind yourself. Radha and Krishna know what you're thinking. They're right here. Oh, you'll snap out of it because you have that habit. Every 30 minutes, I have to remember Radha Krishna. Then make it every 15 minutes. And you'll get so accustomed to it, it'll be like every moment you'll be remembering. Oh yeah, they're with me. They're with me. Very simple, elementary practice that'll change your life if you implement it religiously with determination. He also says, as part of this karma yoga, as part of living a devotional life in the world, he always used the phrase kam bolo, meetha bolo. Speak less, I mean, you're not taking Maun Vrat. You have to talk to your family members. You have to talk to your colleagues at work. But speak less. Don't be overly chatty. Because, you know, try to reserve maximum time for thinking of Radha and Krishna. And when you do speak, speak sweetly. Giving pain to another person is a sin. Radha and Krishna reside in the heart of every person that we meet. And we're making that person feel badly by speaking harsh words to them. So it means we forgot about Radha and Krishna during that time. So this Karma Yoga Sannyas, remembering Radha Krishna and Guruji throughout the day, is something that has to be developed. The more effort we put in, the faster it will develop. We'll develop that ability to do it. While doing this, we still have to perform all of our worldly duties. We should be nice. We should speak sweetly to those around us, our family. We should do everything that's required of us. Sri Kripaluji Maharaj always said, do your worldly duties. Attach your mind to God, but do your worldly duties. Show affection where required. Care for those who need to be cared for. Be a good person in the world. You can't have it both ways. Like, okay, I'm going to be a devotee of Radha Krishna, and I'll just say whatever I want and behave any way I want in the world. Well, it should be reflected in our worldly behavior as well. If we're purifying our heart by doing this sadhana, then it not only means we're developing more devotion for Radha and Krishna and we're enjoying those devotional feelings, it also means that the negative qualities of the mind should be reducing and the positive qualities are increasing. So it means we should become good, better people in the world just from a totally worldly perspective. Another person should be able to see, you're becoming nicer. That should be reflected in our behavior. And that will reflect well on JKP as well. Oh yeah, they're great Radha Krishna devotees, but look out. You know, we don't want that, right? We want people to say, oh yes, they're devotees of Radha Krishna, and look how well behaved they are. Look how nice they are. Look how well they treat everybody. They treat their family, they treat each other, other people they meet. So it's all part of the same package. We should make effort in all those fields. So Sri Maharaji said that, you know, it's not like you can just compartmentalize that, think of Radha Krishna on one side and then on the other side just speak harshly to someone, ignore your duty, be sloppy in the world. If we're sloppy in the world, we're going to be sloppy in devotion also. We only have one mind, so we should carefully, properly do whatever we're doing. And he said, in order to help reduce the effect of these faults, I'm saying reduce the effect of these inner faults. Reducing the fault happens by doing devotion. Anger reduces as you purify your heart by doing bhakti. But you can reduce the effect of that fault in the meantime. I still have anger, but I can make more effort not to allow that anger to overcome me. So we have all of these faults and they're gradually reducing, but along with that, we also have to try to control their effect in our mind. So Sri Maharaji says in order to do that, instead of looking at other people's faults, look at your own. Recognize your own faults and see where you made mistakes. Where did I speak harshly to someone today? Where did I act out of anger? Where did I act out of greed? Where did I do something dishonest? Notice those mistakes, those faults. Before you go to bed at night, review the day. Where did I go wrong today? Okay, tomorrow I'll try to do better. Wake up in the morning. Okay, yesterday I made those mistakes. Today I'm going to try to do better. So he says you will keep doing the same mistakes because it's in your nature. Those faults are there. But if you keep doing this effort, you will reduce the effect of those faults. You'll gradually get control over it. So we have to do that and keep practicing sadhana in order to purify our mind. Then the fault will reduce from inside eventually and disappear, of course, upon God realization. You do both together. So this is the lifestyle that Sri Maharaj-ji taught. Living a good, healthy life in the world, taking care of your body, taking care of your worldly responsibilities, being good to others, not giving pain to others. And the ultimate ilaj, of course, the fix-all, the cure-all, is doing the sadhana bhakti. By attaching your mind to Radha Krishna, you're purifying your heart. That gradually takes care of everything. So this is the practical path that he taught. It's been told in all the scriptures as well. He brought it into this easily understandable form that anybody from a young child to an elderly person can adopt and follow in their life and reap the benefits. And in addition to that, to get even more benefit, you can do some seva too. Seva goes hand in hand with sadhana. Doing the sadhana is the most important thing. If you want to get more benefit, you can do some seva. As I've explained, this Radha Madhav Dham is part of Sri Maharaj-ji's international mission. So someone might feel a desire. I'm following this path Sri Maharaj-ji explained, and I'm getting the benefit. I wish I could do something to contribute. That's the desire to do seva. So that's a good thing, because that also keeps your mind engaged in divine subjects. When you're doing any seva to your guru, it means your intention is a devotional intention, and your mind is in your guru. So it means you're serving Radha and Krishna through that divine personality or through that divine mission. So we can also do whatever seva that we can get our hands on and get more benefit, add that to the sadhana. Tomorrow morning, when I conclude this series, I'll speak a little bit on another topic of sampradaya. Jagadguru Shri Kripaluji Maharaj didn't create any sampradaya. He didn't leave any successor to sit on his gaddi, become the next Jagadguru Kripalu. Why didn't he do that? And what was Sri Maharaj's view of what's a pure, true view of what a sampradaya is? I'll explain that in tomorrow's concluding lecture. Boliye Ladali Lal Ki.